First, let me say thank you. Kathy and I are very appreciative that you've invited us to come. And, you know, every speaker is going to tell you it's a privilege, but it really is a privilege. And it's an amazing thing that God would use people, people like us, to accomplish his purpose. And I don't take it lightly that you invited me to come and to share. And before I go any further, let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful to you for your goodness to us. We're so thankful that we can trust in your faithfulness. None of us were worried that the sun wouldn't come up this morning. And we shouldn't worry whether you'll be faithful or not. And so, as I look over the notes, as I look over the preparation, I just look past that to your faithfulness. I know that you love your people, and you want to feed your sheep. And so, I ask that you would do according to your good pleasure, that you would feed us, that you would speak to us words of life. And I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would have a revelation, that we would have an understanding that would change the way that we live so that you're glorified and so that you have a further testimony. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start by asking a question. And you don't have to call out an answer, but have you ever been listening to a preacher and heard them say some really wonderful things, and then you think to yourself, that's amazing, but it doesn't really seem to have anything to do with where I'm living? If you're like me, there have been times I've heard some great platitudes, but it never changed my attitude. There are times when I am very moved by what the preacher has said about the Lord. I've heard great things about the Lord Jesus and his love for me. And I found it very moving. But I also remember a lot of times as a teenager hearing Bible preachers, Bible teachers going on and on. Feel free. All right. So I can remember as a teenager hearing a lot of Bible teachers going on and on about different facts and different points, and I could tell that it was like really important to them, but it didn't seem to have any connection to me. And so I didn't really see how something like this was going to change my life. And really, what I'm interested in is I want reality. I don't want to hear just a whole lot of words. I don't want to hear some philosophy. I don't want to hear some theology. Now, you know, a preacher comes here and stands in front of you and says, I don't want to hear any theology. Well, you better have some understanding. But I don't want to hear all this theory stuff. It needs to be real. It needs to actually work. It needs to actually make a change. You know, knowing exactly how many rams were slaughtered during some sacrifice didn't really change my life. Or knowing the exact kind of fabric that was used to make the veil didn't really change my life. I will tell you, those are important factors. And at a certain point, at a certain time, it'll be a great blessing to know those things. But for the most part, I just wanted something that was real and like tangible, almost tangible. There have been times when the preacher's just going on and on, and I'm thinking, that's great, but I can't pay my mortgage. You know, I mean, that's real. And or maybe you're like me, that okay, so the mortgage isn't really a problem, but, you know, on the way to church, I got so angry with my spouse that, you know, it's just driving me crazy, and I can't get a handle on it. And you're talking all these great things, but, I mean, I need something real. So anyway, there have been times when I've struggled to hear all these great things way up there in the sky, but I need impact right here where I am. And, you know, that kind of lines up with, we're going to be looking at Ephesians a little bit this weekend. And the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 4:1, he said, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And now, obviously, he's not talking about putting one foot in front of the other. He's talking about your way of life. I implore you that your way of life be worthy of the calling. Now, one thing that's funny to me is, I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of preachers. And at times like this, when they say, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy, then they'll go and they'll pull out the Greek word. Now, the word implore in the Greek is actually parakaleo. And para comes from it means up close and personal, and the kaleo means to call. You see, so Paul didn't just say, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. No, I parakaleo you to walk in a manner. And so I laugh because they said it in Greek, now it really means something. Mm. Like when I heard the word, I implore you, I knew that the preacher meant, I really want you to do this. But then when he said, I parakaleo you, well, then I'm supposed to go, oh, he really wants me to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a little aside, but I just get a chuckle out of it. They bring out that little Greek word and throw it on you, and you're like, oh, now it really means something. But anyway, back to the text. Paul really he's insistent that we walk in a manner worthy of our calling. And I want the same thing. I want my life to be different than what I've got right now. And it really, as you know, I mean, you know where this is going. It really needs to look like Jesus and not look like me. So, in Ephesians, Paul talks about walk quite a bit. I'll just give you a few verses, kind of machine gun style. I already read you Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Later in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, and that's because of the hardness of their heart. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. Verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Ephesians 2:10, a very familiar verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. In fact, Paul not only talks about your walk as a Christian, but he talks about your walk before you became a Christian. If you go back to Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2 say, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So we're kind of back to where we've begun now. We've talked about all these ethereal things about this kind of walk and the prince of the power and the air. And I'm just trying to change how I'm living right here. It needs to connect with where I'm at. So just because Paul implores us, just because he paracoletos us to walk in a manner worthy, doesn't really tell me how. It doesn't really give me the connection between that's a great concept and where I'm living. And I don't really want to waste time on theoretical things. In fact, as I think about it, I'm reminded of a game that my sons like to play, and I refuse to play along with them. It's called Would You Rather. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this nonsense. But what they do, they get together with a bunch of their friends, and they make up this question, like here's one. Would you rather walk backward for the rest of your life, or would you rather fall off the sun? And then you're supposed to deliberate about these two things and figure out which one of those two you would actually prefer. I am irritated, angry, frustrated, refuse to play because neither one is an option. They cannot happen. And seeing as they cannot happen, why am I wasting my time thinking about, well, let's see if I'm walking backwards, or what am I doing on the sun in the first place? I don't have time for this mess. So, anyway, back to the message. I don't want theoretical stuff. I want the real stuff. I want it to actually make a change. So how do I actually, for real, change my walk? In fact, that's the title of the message, for real. For real. How do we actually do this? So I'm glad you asked the question, how do we do this? Because the answer is right here in my notes. Actually, the answer is right here in Ephesians. Let me read Ephesians 4, starting at verse 17, going down to verse 24. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that, and then here's the point, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So he said, lay aside the old self. That's verse 22. And he said, put on the new self. That's verse 24. So the picture that I'd like you to take home with you is it's really about as simple as getting dressed in the morning. And when you wake up, you get out of bed, and you lay aside your night clothes, and you put on your day clothes. Now, I have noticed a number of folks at Walmart who don't have that concept. They seem to show up still in their night clothes. But, you know, we chuckle at that, and it's kind of awkward, and you look at that person, and you think, what's wrong with you? But if you come back to the context of this passage, how many times do we go out as Christians in our old self? And how awkward is that? I mean, you know, you've heard times when somebody has said the wrong thing at a church gathering, and it's like, everyone's, oh my, he said that? And, he says it all the time at home. You just happened to hear it the one time that it was at church, you know, but now it's awkward, you know. Well, see, that's old self, right? So, as I reflected on this simple principle of Christian living, I was reminded of the principal of the Bible school I attended, Cape and Ray Bible School over in England. The principal told the story. His name is Billy Strachan. And he says what he does, and now he's up in glory, but every morning that he gets up, he looks in the mirror, and he talks to the Lord, and he says, here's the body that I'm presenting to you. It's yours to do with what you want. You can go wherever you want to go, do whatever you want to do, say what you want to say. I'll see you tonight. And with that, he goes on about his day, and he just lives his life. And he goes wherever doing. What he does not do is run around thinking to himself, okay, now I presented my body, so I got to be spiritual. Look, somebody's walking by. I need to look like I'm praying. No, he just goes out, and he just lives his life, and he trusts that where he's going to go and what he's going to do and the things that he's going to say are going to be the Lord working through him. So I get the concept, and it sounds right. Lord, here's a body that you can use. In fact, I often say the whole deal is all about the Lord Jesus living out his life through your body, just letting him wear your earth suit and working out his plan, his way. But I'm a little worried about his statement where he says, and then I'm going to just go out and live my life and just do whatever I wanted to do. I'm a little worried about that. But I'm sure you've heard the statement. Some people will tell you, love God and do as you please. And some would say, whoa, man, don't say that. Well, if you really love God, it's going to change the things that you please to do. And so you can't love God and do as you please, because those things change. Now, like I said, I'm a little concerned about his statement that I just go do what I want. But I trust that he's been walking with the Lord and those things change. But in order to understand this concept, you got to understand the fact that there are two natures. There's the nature that you were born with, the nature that you got from Adam. And then there's the other nature that you get born again into, and that's Christ's nature. Paul talks about the original nature back in chapter 2. I think I read this earlier, Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. So, your old nature, that you were born with, and it's the only thing you've ever known, it has these characteristics. First of all, it's dead. It's separated from God. That's the reality. You were born dead. Born separated from God. But your old nature produces trespasses and sins. I took a look at the Greek, but they're sins. Trespasses, maybe smaller sins, maybe bigger, but they're wrong things you do. That's what your old nature naturally produces. And the path of your old nature, the manner of living, the way you walk in that old nature, it is in agreement with the world system. And it is in agreement with the prince of the power of the air. Now, I don't know if you're familiar. I'm sure you are. That's another name for Satan. So Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And he's got this system. And our old nature is completely in tune with that system. And that's all that we've ever known until, of course, we come to Christ. I just want to add a little footnote comparing flesh and spirit. I've noticed in Scripture that the majority of the time that God describes the outcome of living according to the flesh, he uses the word works. The works of the flesh are impurity and lust and desire, all these kinds of things. But when he's talking about the outcome of walking in the Spirit, he uses the word fruit. So you've got the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that's telling, because there's quite a contrast between the living, life-giving fruit of walking in the Spirit compared to acting out the dead, life-draining works of the sin nature. So anyway, back to the point. There's two natures. And the one you're born with, it's all you've ever known. And it's automatic. I mean, it's as normal and natural and automatic as all your five senses. You don't have to think about seeing, you see. You don't have to think about hearing when it works. Sometimes I have to think about listening. But it's there. It's automatic. It works. And sin nature, it's there. It's automatic. It works. And it's in agreement with the world system. It's in agreement with the prince of the power of the air. So, from the day that you were born, the pattern and path of your life was in agreement with the prince of the power of the air and his system. And so what did it produce? We covered that in Ephesians 2:1, the trespasses and the sins. And you remember when Jesus was describing Satan, that he called him the father of lies. You read that in John 8:44. Jesus said, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus told us that whenever he tells a lie, whenever he's speaking his native language, he's lying. It's quite natural. Well, really, the same is true for every human being when we sin. It's just quite natural. It's kind of our native language. It's our human nature. It's natural for us to sin. Now, if you're thinking, well, there are some things that I would never do, well, I would respectfully disagree. I think really Every human being is capable of every sin in the book. The only thing you need is the right set of circumstances to bring you to that point. And we probably would. But the other point I want to make is that Satan doesn't need you to commit every sin in the book. He's really quite pleased if you only commit the sins that you kind of like. And he's quite the opportunist. He will continue to bring things before you, and when you see something that you like, I really like arrogance. I really like, I'm smarter than everyone in the room. And then he's like, oh yes, you are. Aren't you so smart? And he'll just keep feeding you, and you'll just keep loading up on, yes. Oh yes, I am. Or if your thing is bitterness, man, I'm just so bitter. Well, you should be. Can you believe what they did to you? And it just keep loading, and you just keep loading it up. He's quite the opportunist. And if he says, well, wouldn't you like to commit bank robbery? And you're like, are you kidding? I'm not letting anybody shoot at me. Okay, never mind. Have some more bitterness. Oh, yes, I'll take it. So he doesn't need you to commit every sin. Just whatever you like. Whatever you like. And he'll just keep feeding because it's in accordance with our nature. I'm sure you've heard the phrase or the statement, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. So that's what our old nature looks like. That's the old self, as it says in Ephesians. That's how it's motivated, that's how it operates. Now, if we're going to change that, if we're going to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, we have to lay aside the old self and put on the new self. It's like you change clothes every morning. Daily, put on Christ. Now, when I say put on Christ, somebody might put a flag on the field and go, oh, wait a minute, that's kind of like an external thing. Like you're saying, put on a costume. Like, fake it till you make it. Well, I would agree with your concern, except for the fact that it's Scripture. He said, put on the new self. So, but he's obviously not talking about fake it till you make it. The Christian life is 100% an inward reality that works its way out through your heart and mind, through your body. But the illustration that Paul is using, that's what I'm addressing tonight. So, in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, verse 22, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and then you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Now, just a few verses after this, Paul gives us another key. In chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So, if all you've ever known is your sin nature, and you've got to lay that aside and take on this new nature, how will you ever know about this other nature? Well, it has to be in a love relationship with God. Paul said to be imitators of God. Well, now, wait a minute. Isn't that the same thing earlier when we're putting on this costume? I mean, you're saying this external thing. Put on the new self. Put on that costume and now be an imitator of God. I see what he did. I'll try to do the same thing. But that's not what he said. That's the words that are there. But then the next phrase is, as beloved children. Now, I don't know if how many times you've noticed, but children act like their parents. You know, you might notice a man who's got a certain characteristic, like when he's, he might be saying to his son, I need you to do this, I need you to do this, do this, do this, and he's got this funny little hand thing. And then Junior looks up and goes, but Dad, I don't want to do this and this and this. Well, where'd he get this hand thing from? He's being an imitator. It's because they're close together. It's because they're in a relationship. It's because there's a connection that when Dad goes like this, Junior goes like this. And a funny story just recently, Kathy, well, it's actually been a couple years ago, Kathy was talking with one of the other parents at a school function. And so so Kathy and this lady are standing face to face. I'm standing beside Kathy, and the other lady's husband was standing there. And so us being the good men, we're just watching the two of them talk. And they're talking and talking. And then as they're face to face, Kathy goes, "So I'm telling you, I tried this and I tried that." And while she's talking, you know, she's put her hands up and she's just talking about it. And she's moved her hands like this. And the other lady who's completely listening, she's not talking, she's only listening. But her hands went up. And when Kathy was going like this, she was going like this while she's listening. It's just like, that's quite a connection there. But it's the same thing where you're close, you're in proximity, and there's a connection. And it's just normal and natural for children to imitate their parents. And so again, we're not talking about fake it till you make it. We're not talking about an external thing. We're talking about something that's really normal and natural, and is a relationship. So now it's also a challenge here because Paul has said, be imitators of God. And yet Jesus told us no one has seen the Father at any time. So how are you going to do this when you haven't even seen him? You know, no one has seen the Father at any time. We read that in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. In another passage in John's Gospel, this is John 14, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Now Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" And so quite simply, I'm saying, if we're to be imitators of God, whom no one has seen. But he can be known through Christ, who has seen him. And Jesus just told us, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so really, the getting to know, the being able to imitate like a child to a father, it's all wrapped up in knowing Christ, in knowing Jesus. And coming back to the title of the message, for real. It's about knowing Jesus for real. It's not about being able to quote theology or being able to quote scripture, but it really has to be real. Tomorrow morning, Lord willing, we're going to look more at knowing Jesus. But for now, at this point, we're at the place where we want the real Christian living. I really need the life of Christ coming through me. I really don't need the life of Paul. And you don't need that either. Am I right? You don't need that either. What you really need is the life of the Lord. And that's what I'm looking for. Real Christian living. Not a game. Not a religious theory. And in order for change, in order to change things from our old nature, our old self, into the new life, it's going to be like laying aside the old self, putting on the new self. Just like getting dressed. You just lay aside the old, put on the new. And we probably understand the laying aside part well enough. That this new self that we're putting on every morning, we're going to need more understanding about that. And Lord willing, we'll look at that tomorrow morning. So with that, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you have drawn us into relationship with you. And we thank you that you've opened our eyes to see that what we want is you. What we want is really you here with us, in us, and living through us. And so help us, Lord, to understand and to be able to lay aside our old self and to put on you and to be able to imitate you as we see the Lord Jesus, just so normally and naturally. And so we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.